really, really, really excited to talk to you today. And today, God has given me a message of motivation to share with you that He has first shared with me as I found myself in a place of feeling very overwhelmed with the vision that God has given me for Treasured Ministries. And oftentimes, when God gives us a vision, we can often feel overwhelmed. And what we need to understand is that the way that God gives us a vision, that's part of His provision, but that we see this principle all throughout Scripture, that God will first give us a vision, and then He will give us little steps to take along the way. And what the enemy will do is John 10:10 says that he is a thief, and he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And one of the things, so in other words, he's a thief. And one of the things that he wants to steal from you is your belief, because the enemy knows that that your actions will line up with your faith, with what you believe, that is a way that God wired us, that our thoughts create our feelings and our feelings fuel our actions. And that's why the Bible tells us in James chapter 2 that faith and action will walk hand in hand. And so it's really important for us to guard against that thief of unbelief. And one of the ways that he can come in is that when God brings us a vision, and we see this principle all throughout Scripture, that part of God's provision in seeing His kingdom built, because any purpose that you and I have, and whether it's a purpose to build a business or a purpose to volunteer inside of our schools whatever it is, when God has given us a vision, that is part of His provision, and it's His provision to give us a goal that we're working towards. If you want to think about running a marathon race, and some of you might be thinking, no, thank you. I'm not thinking about running a marathon race. But when you're running a marathon, you're thinking about that finish line and where you're going to. And as you're training for it, you know that there's a final destination in place. So God gives us that vision. That's part of His provision in your God-given purpose to propel us forward to build His kingdom. That you and I are here, God's ultimate purpose is for us to go and make disciples. And we can do that. We can do that in our workplace. We can do that inside of our business. We can do that inside of our children's school. We can do that inside of a ministry that God wants us to create. But what I want to say to you is that wherever you are, there is your ministry. And it could be inside of your neighborhood. It could be wherever it may be. And so we don't want to put parameters on it, but God will give us a vision. And the vision that God gives you, and when you look inside of Scripture, we see this principle over and over and over again, that God brings an impossible vision, and He shares it. He shares it with mere humans, right? He shares it with mere humans, and the vision is always huge. And the vision, though, is big. And then there comes a time between God sharing His vision and the vision coming to pass, that we will have to walk by faith, building this vision by taking small steps. And I want you to see this pattern inside of Scripture. I want you to see it when God gave Noah the call to build the ark. He told him to build the ark. He told him what it was going to look like. And then it was over 100 years that it took for Noah to build the ark. We think about Father Abraham, that God God gave him a vision, right? To build that family of faith where all generations would be blessed through Abraham. And God gave him the vision, but it was years later before Isaac was born. And ultimately, we know that this was all about the Messiah anyway. So years later before Jesus Christ was born. And then even in the practical, inside of the everyday, we see in the story, for example, inside of the Gospels, of the feeding of the 5,000, inside of John chapter 6, it is, I believe, that God has this vision, and it's in the daily practical purposes, Jesus wants to feed the masses, and so he gives this impossible, right, how are we going to feed 5,000 kind of thing, and how are we going to build the ark, and how am I going to have this huge family, Abraham might have said to God, that you're having, and we see this we see this inside of the book of Joshua, when God called Joshua to establish the promised land, and the very first thing that would need to happen is the walls of Jericho would need to fall, and what God says to him in the very beginning, and I believe it's in Joshua chapter 6 as well, so go look at John chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 6 to just fuel your faith. But so what God says is that he says to Joshua, he says, "See, I've given you this city." In other words, God always starts with vision, and the vision is always way larger than us. And even inside of that, that is a part of God's provision. Because when God gives us a vision that is way larger than us, it pushes us to depend on him. It's what pushed the disciples to depend on Jesus. And it is what pushed Noah to depend on the Lord. And that's like a happy day, right? Because we just get so excited, and we can't explain it. We can't articulate it. We just know that God has called us to do this. And that's a happy day. But then come the hard days of the waiting and the wandering. And sometimes it happens immediately, like it did with the feeding of the 5,000 and that precious little boy who just brought what he had to God or to Jesus. And then Jesus took those five loaves of bread and two fish and blessed it and multiplied it for many. And they saw the dream come to pass. But sometimes we're waiting forever. And we might be waiting for a vision like Noah did that no one's ever seen. The earth had never seen rain before. And God told Noah that there was going to come rain and he was to build this big boat. And so God was asking him to see with his eyes of faith. And I want us to look inside of our nourish scripture this week. And I want to tell you that this week, I got extremely overwhelmed with feeling like that I had to do all the vision that God has given me for Treasured Ministries. Because can I share something with you? That the vision for Treasured Ministries is not really Bible studies. Pick out and go in my closet right here, right now, and go bring out old journals to you. I could show you journals from 20 years ago where I talked about building a retreat center for women, where women could come when the bottom drops out in their life to just press pause. That yes, I do feel called to write Bible studies and more Bible studies in the Nourish Bible Study series, but that our end game at Treasured Ministries is not necessarily that you would have all the knowledge of the Bible, but that women would start to live a faith-filled, authentic life. And that out of these resources, there could be revenue generated for this retreat center. And I'm not talking about a place where women can come and hear a speaker. I'm talking about a place that women can come and stay for a week and get intensive counseling and to just hit the reset button on life when the bottom drops out. And I've certainly been there, and every woman I've talked to has been there. And that has been my heart's cry probably for 20 years. But when a vision doesn't happen right away, the enemy can come in, and God will give us a vision, but then the enemy can come in with those seeds of doubt, and he can sow in that unbelief into our hearts. And much like in Mark chapter 4, where it talks about that that there was some seed that fell among the path, and it sprouted up, but because it didn't have root, it fell away, right, when persecution came, that so too that you and I can receive the vision, because vision is exciting, right? I mean, like, it just feels so awesome that God wants you to build something for his kingdom, for him, and it feels just big, and it's amazing, and it's exciting. And then we don't see it happen, right? We don't see it happening. And then that thief of unbelief can come, and he can sow doubts inside of our soul, right? And we've all been there. I mean, I'm just telling you, because this message of motivation is one that the Holy Spirit preached to me. And what I'm giving to you is exactly what God gave to me, that I was sitting with my right-hand woman, who is Sandy, and I was saying, how are we going to get all this done? And how are we going to get this? And when you become aware of the big vision that God can give you, it can become frustrating, and it can become doubtful when you don't see it happening right away. But let's get some encouragement today, because it all happens with little steps of faith, and that's what I want you to see. So inside of our nourish scripture this week, we looked at when Gabriel came to Mary, and Gabriel gave Mary a vision and basically said, I know you think your big vision right now is that you're going to get married, right? But actually, you're going to have the Son of God, right? I mean, talk about like a big vision. And Mary responds with these amazing, beautiful words of faith, right? And the Bible says in Luke 1:45, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said he would do. And in fact, she responds in 1:38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me comes true. And she does ask the angel, she says, how will this happen? And what I really believe that Mary was asking, it was not that she was doubting that it would happen, but it was like, okay, what's the next step? Like, how is this going to come to pass? What is the next step that I need to take? And then the angel responds to her and says, basically, it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he points to past faithfulness of God when he talks about her cousin Elizabeth. And so then God gives her this provision of this friendship. And so then it says in verse 39 that Mary hurries on to connect with this relationship. Okay. So I want you to see that. And then I want you to juxtapose that. We're going to go a little bit backwards inside of that chapter to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was married to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was also going to have this supernatural pregnancy, because Elizabeth was old. And God loves to do this in the Bible, right? I mean, like, he does it to Sarah. He did it to Elizabeth. And I'm just saying, because I've been pregnant before. Lord, I love you, but I don't know if I want to have a baby when I'm 99. But anyway, so God comes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and Zechariah, understand this, that Zechariah was a priest, and the Bible says that they were righteous and upright. So they were doing everything right, but Elizabeth was barren. Elizabeth was without child. And back then in biblical times, you know, people just thought if you didn't have a baby, I mean, there might be something wrong with you, that you were doing something wrong. But the Bible clearly says that Zechariah and Elizabeth were living for the Lord. And I want to ask you, are you living for God? and you're doing everything that God has called you to do, and yet you feel like something that God has called you to birth, that there's a barrenness going on, that you're not seeing it come to pass. And the Bible tells us that Zechariah was performing his priestly duties when the angel came to him and spoke to him. And so Zechariah was dutifully doing what God had called him to do. And are you dutifully doing the thing? Are you going to church on Sunday, and you're studying God's word, and you're praying, and maybe you're fasting, and maybe, you know, like Zechariah was a priest, for crying out loud, and there Elizabeth was barren. And it was inside of this normal duties that the angel also comes to Zechariah, just like he would to Mary later on. And he gives Zechariah a vision. And the very first thing the angel says in verse 13, and what I feel God wants to say to you today, is don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you're to name his name John, and you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And we all know who John the Baptist was, and you can read a little bit more later. And this is all in Luke chapter 1. But basically, I want to say to you this morning that God has heard your prayer, that your prayers didn't just bounce off the ceiling, that he's given you a prayer, that he's heard your prayer, and that he has an answer for your prayer, but your answer to your prayer is going to come in God's specific time and in his specific way. But what we're going to see is in the way that Zechariah responded, and we'll juxtapose it with how Elizabeth responded, his wife. But what we're going to see is that while Zechariah was dutifully going to church and doing the thing that God had called him to do, because I don't know if you've ever been there. I've certainly been there with this, where God just, there was a barren issue in my life, and unbelief was there. And the unbelief was not, it was inside of, is God really who he says he is? Because I took this step of faith, and now I don't see things coming to pass. And so I was dutifully doing all the things that I normally did, right? Because it's all I know, is to go to church and to pray and to fast and to do all those things that God is calling me to. But the enemy had come in, and he had sowed seeds of unbelief inside of that season of wilderness. Now, it's one thing to choose if God gives you a vision and then you step out from a circumstance, but it's, and then you're in a season of wilderness. But what if there's a wilderness that you have no control over? A very good friend of mine inside of ministry has been just like a little bird that's been pushed out of a nest, that God has taken her out from a place, and she it's not a wilderness she's chosen. And it's very hard. It's very hard in that season of wilderness. If you're in that season now, it is extremely, extremely hard to be in. But let's listen to the difference between Zechariah's response and Elizabeth's response. And so then Zechariah, it says in verse 18, said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? How can I be sure that this will happen?" So Mary said, "How is this going to happen?" In other words, Mary already believed. Mary received the vision, and she already believed and began speaking about it like it was going to happen. Zechariah was doubting that God would fulfill his word. And can you blame him? Can you blame him? You know, our culture with our culture, I think, has conditioned me to, and maybe some Christian teachings that you've heard, maybe they've conditioned us that when we receive a vision for God, it's just going to automatically happen. And sometimes it does, right? Sometimes, like in the feeding of the 5,000, I mean, there was a process and there were steps that they had to take. But within a matter of a few hours, God, it came to pass. But other visions take a while. And they take time. But the Bible tells us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And so a vision from God will always be impossible, and it will always require your faith. Zechariah was asking, how can I be sure that it will happen? Mary already believed that it will happen, and she just wanted to know, like, how? Like what are the next steps? Like, what do you want me to do, right? And then the angel, and basically, well, the angel's not happy. She says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you did not believe what I said, right? Remember, Mary, it said that she was blessed because she believed God's word. Zechariah is not, right? He's not believing what is said, okay? You will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be filled at the proper time. At the proper time. Our purpose is fulfilled at the proper time. And it's very hard when we don't see it coming to pass. But listen to this. Listen to this. God silenced Zechariah when it happened. God silenced Zechariah when it happened, and maybe, perhaps, it just could be that God silenced Zechariah because the enemy had come into Zechariah's life and sown these seeds of unbelief in who God is, because part of God is that he is the ultimate promise keeper. In fact, that is, it's actually my first point, what Christmas shows us. Christmas prophecy is proof that God's promises to us will always come to pass. Christmas is prophecy. Christmas's prophecy is proof to us that God's promises will always come to pass. And so Gabriel, the angel says, look, I just need you to be quiet. And so he closes up, he closes up Zechariah's mouth. And the reason why he silenced Zechariah, I really believe in my heart, even though the Bible doesn't say this, is because Gabriel was getting ready to go to Mary and to share with her that she was going to have a baby. And God knew that Mary would need a faith-filled Holy Spirit believing friend that would walk this journey with her. And if she was sitting with a husband that was filled with unbelief and would keep sowing those seeds of doubt inside of her, it would absolutely influence our faith, because those that we spend the most time with do have an impact on what we believe. And Elizabeth would also need faith too. And Elizabeth would need this faith, right? And think about the implications of this. And think about why it's so important for you and I to believe. It's important for you and I to believe because the purpose and the vision is never about us. It's about building God's kingdom. Zechariah having that baby wasn't about him. It was ultimately about building God's kingdom, because John had to be, John needed rock star parents, right? Like rock star righteous parents, right? He needed those parents, right, to be John the Baptist and to walk the faith that he did and to remain faithful to his call, like no matter, you know, because we know what John went through, right? But John was important because Jesus was important. And your purpose is important because it has a place inside of building God's kingdom. And so Zechariah was silenced. And the Bible does not say, I want to be clear. It doesn't say Zechariah was silenced because Elizabeth needed faith. But that's exactly what I believe. And I believe that Zechariah needed to be silent for a while, that God did that to bless him because he needed time just with God. Maybe the silence pulled him away from his priestly duties. And maybe God has positioned you in a place where you've been pulled away, like from, I don't know, what you normally do, or from like normal 9-to-5 work, or whatever it might be. And God has pulled you away. He's silenced what is normal in your life because he wants to build your faith. And so he was silencing Zechariah, I believe, to bless him, but ultimately to protect his vision, his overall vision. Because just because, you know, we have unbelief doesn't mean that God is not going to accomplish his purposes, because he's going to get it done one way or another. So the next thing is that God's vision is an invitation for you to build his kingdom. But we must choose to RSVP and say yes. We must choose to say yes. God will never force you ever to walk out the vision. Never. He will never force you to become a Christian. He is all about inviting and then you choosing to participate. And there are some days where I want to say to God, please make me a robot. So I always say yes and do what you want me to do, because faith is, walking by faith is really hard and it's really challenging. But God is not going to do that with us, because love is always a choice. And he also knows, I believe, that walking by faith is an awesome, fun, faith-filled, beautiful adventure. But it's also one of hardship and of hard work and of perseverance and of endurance. And he wants us, the Bible says, to count the cost. And the day that we receive vision, that is an exciting day. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for me to talk about the visions that God has given me for Treasured Ministries. But when I look at where we are and where I want to go, it's very easy to feel overwhelmed. And when I see the hard work in front of me, there are days that I want to quit. Or when I don't see it happening right. Can I be real and honest with you? I mean, some days I'm just a Zechariah. When I want to be a Mary or Elizabeth, okay? But number one is we have to say yes. But also what I want you to see about this is that just because you say yes to God, because saying yes to God is a lot of fun too. Like, you know, in church, like great worship going on. You're in the middle of some awesome worship. It's so easy to respond out of emotion and say, yes, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will do that. And then God says to you, I want you to forgive this person. And you're like, accept that, God, right? Okay, so it's a lot of fun though when God gives us vision. Or Eileen, I want you to build this retreat center, and I want it to be a small place where women can come, and I want it to be just this beautiful place where women can come and set the reset button. And I'm just getting so excited about that vision, and that's fun. And then comes the part about actually doing the thing and the work involved and the scariness of trusting God when you look at the reality. And Zechariah was looking around at his old wife, and he was also looking at his past experiences of being barren all these years. And Mary, and what Mary... You know, Mary said, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin, right? I mean, Mary was looking at herself physically. But you know what she never brings up, which I think is kind of odd, like, because this is what I would say. what is everybody going to think about me? Because I'm engaged, right, to Joseph. What is everybody going to think? And blah, 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 blah. Da, 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 da. You know, she never brought that up, but that would probably be one of my objections. What are people going to think, right? And so, you know, the rubber meets the road, and we can just come up with all these objections. And because we're looking at our circumstances. We're looking at our limitations. Sometimes I look at our budget for Treasured Ministries and I'm just going, you want me to do what? Like, you know what I'm saying? So what are you looking at? What limitations are you looking at? And the Bible tells us inside of this Christmas story that all things are possible with God. Mary was a virgin. I don't know how. Black and white. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how impossible can it be? I mean, can our experience really, like, compare to hers? And yet God tells us to say yes. But saying yes, like when we RSVP to a party, we can say yes, and then we can just choose not to show up. Right? We can say yes inside of this beautiful worship song. But then when the rubber meets the road, like, just not do the thing, right? So we can RSVP to a party, but unless we get in the car and go, we're not going to be at the party. And God's invitation to us to work inside of his purpose is an invitation, right? To participate inside of this great adventure, and we have to RSVP yes, but unless we go, we're not going to get to participate, right? And but listen to this, don't miss this point, because God, it's like everywhere in my life right now, because the Holy Spirit to me speaks in an echo. Either that or I'm just extremely hard-headed and God has to tell me 50 times. But anyway, so everywhere in my life right now, God is showing me this principle that faith and action walk hand in hand, James chapter 2. And that, Eileen, you can know things in the Bible. You can know I'm your provider. You can know I'm your strength. You can know all these things. But your actions reveal to you what is really in the core of your belief. In other words, if I really believed in the core of my being that God was my provider, I would not be worried about finances for Treasured Ministries. If I really believed in the core of my being that all things were possible through God, I wouldn't be afraid to take that next step. Your actions, what you are doing, are a reflection, and don't get any condemnation from this, because that's from the enemy. I'm just going to preach it to you straight how God told me. Eileen, your prayer life is a reflection of not what you know biblical knowledge, but what you really believe in the core of who you are. The way you act is what you really believe about your identity in Christ. And this is never like for condemnation. This is God calling you to a higher level of faith. You know, just like the guy said inside of the Gospels, I believe it's Mark chapter 10, help my unbelief. When we see unbelief in our life, and we see it not because of what we know or what we wrote on an index card or what's the sticker that we bought or the plaque that we have, but what our actions say. Because faith and action walk hand in hand. The way that our bodies are wired, belief always, always impacts our behavior. What we have in our heart will eventually come out with our hands. In other words, what we believe in our heart will eventually, like, push our actions. And Zacharias was still stuck in unbelief. He didn't even believe that God's word was going to come to pass. But Mary was like, okay, how's this going to get done? Like, Like, let's go. Whatever, you know, let's take the first let's take the first step. And so I want to ask you, what is your prayer life? What are your actions telling you about your faith? And the next thing, and this is something God showed me today, because here's what I also think. I think that sometimes when we get a vision from God, and I think this, I think that like in, if you were to watch like a business video or whatever, and they weren't believers, they would tell you to write the vision. And the Bible tells us to write the vision, right? In Hosea, I believe is chapter 2. The Bible tells us to write the vision, right? Okay, so we can write the vision, right? But what you want to be careful of is that your faith isn't in the vision, but the vision giver. That your faith doesn't remain in the dream, but in the dream builder. Faith always has to have an object. And if our faith, here's what the Lord told me, Eileen, watch that your faith isn't in the vision I've given you for Treasured Ministries. Because if our faith is in that, well, then we might feel like we have to make it come to pass on our own. Are you tracking with me? Does that make sense? Faith always has to have an object. And if our faith is in the dream instead of the dream builder, oh, I mean, the enemy can just have heyday with that one. Because he'll point at the dream. And the reason why the enemy can wreak havoc in our life over this is because he will point at the dream. And he will say, well, you really must not be all that. Do you really think you're a child of God? Did you really hear God when he called you to do this? I don't think so. Do you really think you have the ability to do that? He will wreak havoc in your life. But if your faith is in the dream builder instead of the dream, you can speak back to that mountain and you can say, you're right, this is really impossible, but all things are possible with God. You're right, I don't have the resources for this, but my God will supply all my needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19, right? Because my sufficiency, my provision, my strength is through the Lord and not the vision that he's given me. I want to ask you, is your faith in the dream or in the dream builder? Here's another way that the enemy will play on us. He will get us looking at our circumstances. And we'll say, if I just had $5 million in the bank, then I could start my vision. If I just had that, right? Or if I just had time to read the Bible like this person, then I could do that. Or if I just had this, or if I had a college education, or if I had this, and so we will start making all sorts of excuses. Your faith isn't in your circumstances. Your faith is in God. And so you'll start waiting on these circumstances to come to pass. And you'll just sit there, right? And here's the other thing. You know, God has invited you to the party, right? With the vision. And he's waiting on you to take the first step. Here's another thing that we do. If I can just get with this person, if I could just get close to my pastor, I know that like he could help me to promote what I want to do. Or if I could just like get in good with this person at work. No. Your vision is not dependent on the person or circumstances. The object of your faith must be God. And if you are feeling any of those things, you need to take a step back and you need to really ask yourself, what are my actions saying? Do I really, really believe Like, am I Mary or am I Zachariah? Do I really believe that what God said would happen? It's okay if you don't know how it's going to happen. I'm going to get to that in a minute. That's okay. But you've got to believe that it will happen. Because believing that it will happen will affect your belief system and your behavior. And you have to take action. And I don't care what God has called you to do, there will always be a step of obedience you have to take, because faith and action always walk hand in hand. But when we look at our actions and when they don't line up with truth, what we need to ask ourselves is this: do I really have faith in the words that God has, or faith in God? Because sometimes, here's what God said to me about Treasure Ministries: Eileen, you want to see it first, and then you'll believe and do the work. But I'm asking you to have faith. And the Bible clearly says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith, right in the very beginning, that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. And so you, if you are waiting to see the vision first, and there's nothing like that's just our human nature, and it's okay. There's no condemnation. It's like the disciples, right, in the feeding of the 5,000, and they looked around. They looked around, and there were 5,000 people out there, and there were actually, because the man was like the head of, so it was like 5,000 families, so to speak. And so they're looking out, and they're saying, how is it, this would require 8 months of wages. They're calculating from a human perspective, okay? But God says, I need you to walk by faith. And so the way the kingdom works, the way building the kingdom works is, and this is what the Lord said to me this week: Eileen, I know you want to see it happen first, but it will not happen until you take that first step of faith. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we don't see first and then believe. We believe first and then we see. You may be saying to yourself, but I've already said yes to this big vision God has given me, right? I've already said yes, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've done that, and but I want you to hear Mary's beautiful response. She says this. Hang on, let me find it. Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true. I want to get back to the importance of identity. She said, I am the Lord's servant. You see, when God gives us a big vision, His provision is that vision, but then He will give us little steps to take. And they are steps of serving and servanthood. There's a precious faith-filled friend that I have, and the Lord has given her a big vision. And one of the very first steps that He called her to take was this job that was outside of her wheelhouse and had to do, like, she was like, what? Like, she's been like this big account executive and all that, and now she's doing something where she's like really serving. And you know what she said to me? She said that it's a part of the process, because we all need to get to that place, and it doesn't happen. It happens through like serving others, right? Where we understand that a dream is for stewardship and not ownership. In other words, that the dream is not there to serve us, that we're there to use the dream to serve God and to serve others. And so Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary understood that this was not like awesome and I'm going to get like everybody's going to love me and I'm going to get... Mary was looking at her life and what she saw probably, and she didn't even say this, but that people would talk about her. That she would be carrying the Messiah, right? And that this was going to require work. And there's a difference between doing work for God's kingdom and doing work to build our kingdom. And there was certainly a time in my life where even ministry, I used it to just a way to like affirm myself, right? But everything that we do, so we can use ministry, we can do whatever to just make us feel acceptable, like we're a good Christian or whatever. But God says this: I already love you. You're already acceptable. You're already who, now I want you to serve me. And so Mary basically rolled up her sleeves and she said, I'm ready to do work. Whatever you want me to do. If you want me to wait tables, I'm going to wait tables. If you want me to change diapers, I'm going to change diapers. Like, I am your servant, and I will do whatever you want me to do. And sometimes we see the big vision and maybe some glory that's attached to that, right? But what we don't understand is that vision requires work. And it requires a servant's heart. And what I see now more than I've ever seen is that really, I don't want Vision for Treasure Ministries to pass until I've got that heart that can truly, truly, everything that I do be about His glory and not mine. You see, to serve God is about sacrifice. And Mary would have to sacrifice her reputation. She was putting her marriage on the line. There was lots of sacrifice. And all of this was really preparing her for what would come some 33 years later. Every year, once a year, I try to watch Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, and every year I get something new about it. But the very first time I watched it, I just sat there and I wept and wept as I watched this mother Mary watch her son be beaten and crucified. When we sign up for Vision with God, it requires sacrifice and a servant's heart. And could it perhaps be that there's somebody out there that's like me, I'm not pointing fingers, that says, God, I want this big vision. And maybe God says, well, let's go. And there's a step of faith that He's given you, but because it's a small step, a menial step, we don't feel like that's important enough, or we don't feel like we're making traction, right? God gives us a vision, and we're not responsible for the how, but we are responsible for how we respond and our steps of obedience. I am responsible for my response. And I can respond like Zechariah, or I can respond like Mary. And oftentimes, we can get so overwhelmed with what God has called us to do that the next step is right in front of us, and we're not taking it. You are responsible for your response. God is responsible for the vision, but we are responsible for our response. And lip service means nothing. Lip service means nothing. But when we respond out of faith, we will take action steps. And they will be little steps of faith that will build the vision. When I got so overwhelmed, Sandy, who is my, she's my right-hand woman with Treasure Ministries. So I was like Zachariah, how is this ever going to happen? You know, that kind of thing. And she sent me a text the next morning. And she said, God told me to share this with you, that Treasure Ministries, it's going to be like putting in one brick at a time. And we just focus on that one brick, and then the next brick, and then the next brick. And you know what she did for me? She was like, in John chapter 6, she was like that little boy that came to the disciples. And I believe it was Andrew that recognized this, but said, here are 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's all about just taking the next step of obedience. And when we take that next step, then God will give us the next step and the next step and the next step to take. And that is how a vision is built. But we will never move anywhere, or we won't do anything if our faith is in the dream rather than the dream builder.
But there's a beautiful end of the story to this. It says that it said that, and you remember this, that God told, that Angel Gabriel told Zechariah that baby would be named John. And so it says that when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when the neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everybody rejoiced. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." What, they exclaim, "There is no one in your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. That was a small step of faith that he took. God told him, name the baby John. And when he took that small step of faith, then God opened his mouth again. And the very first thing that came out of his mouth was praise to God. So I want to ask you, what small step of faith is God asking you to take? Go back to that and be like Mary. I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And with little steps of faith, you don't have to worry about accomplishing the vision. What you need to focus on is keeping your faith in God and taking that next step. And step by step by step, God will build his dream, and it will come to pass at the proper time. And everything that we do is for his glory. And at the proper time, when you and I are ready, when the kingdom calendar time is ready, it will come to pass. God's responsible for all of that. What you're responsible for is just taking that next step. And so I want you, when you get off of this, just to sit down and just to think to yourself, what is that next step? And then I want you to call somebody, a friend, and I want you to tell them about it. I want you to say, this is the next step that I think that God is calling me to take. And make sure you call an Elizabeth. Don't call a Zechariah, because they'll doubt you. And then I want you to take it. And it could be a small, minuscule, teeny tiny step that you think is insignificant, but it's like God is up there weaving a tapestry for his kingdom, and we never know how our steps of faith are going to position us for our purpose. And so, I want to ask you, what is that next step? I want you to take your eyes for a minute off of that big dream that God has given you. And I want you to ask yourself, what is that next step?